Thanks, Joel, for sharing that. My burden this morning is really for those that don't know the love of Christ at all. And I guess I say that because my testimony is similar to Joel's. I grew up going to church every Sunday. I grew up in a Christian home. And yet I knew for myself there was something that was hindering. And the verse in the Bible says, it's not that his ear is too heavy or his arm is too short, but there's one thing that separates us. What is it? Sin. And I knew in my heart what it was, but it was hidden. No one else knew. And that was a tough place to be because on the outside, I was looking pretty good. But boy, on the inside, I knew there was a problem. And so there's a couple of verses I just wanted to look at here, and it's in Mark chapter 2. And it's Mark 2, verse 13. Says, then Jesus went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed Jesus. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many that followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats with and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? I think that's kind of interesting. First of all, who is the Jesus you're seeking? Or should I say it this way? In your mind, who is Jesus? When we think about Jesus, who is he? Is he the one in the synagogue with all the people in their long robes that know the scriptures really, really well? Or is he the one that goes out of his way to find those that are hurting? To find those maybe in a bad place? To find those that are doing things that maybe they shouldn't. He went by and he saw Levi, and what did he do? He called him. That Levi was the guy that was overcharging on the taxes. He was the guy that was really a thief. He loved money. But Jesus went there and he's like, Levi, come follow me. Levi had a choice to make. He had to get up and leave and follow Jesus, but that's the one he was seeking out. And so I look at this and I thought, interesting. When I grew up, I was more like a Pharisee. A Pharisee in those days were like hypocrites, actors. They put on a certain show on the outside, but on the inside, they were a different person. You could go down to the theater house and find the hypocrites. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, but yet that's where I found myself. I found myself with a very good exterior, but on the inside, there was very shameful hidden things, and I didn't want anyone to know. And so that's why I knew there was a problem. I'd pray the same prayer every day. I'd read my Bible every day. But I was bound in sin, and I didn't want anyone to know. And yet God knew the whole time. He was the one putting the conviction there. And I wasn't willing to come to him for so many years. Why? Because I was concerned what other people thought of me. Who cares what other people think? There's only one that matters. His name is Jesus. And he sees our hurts and our pains. He sees the areas that we're struggling, the area we're sinning. He sees it. And what's he wanting us to do? To come to him to be free. That's what he wants. And this is what Jesus said, verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, who do you say it to? The Pharisees, the religious people, the scribes. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He says, I got time for these tax collectors and sinners. These are the ones that are willing to acknowledge that they need to change. And as for me, as long as I was in that place of trying to keep the good appearance on the outside, I was the one standing there with the scribes and the Pharisees. But when I was willing to acknowledge that I had a problem, all of a sudden got transferred from one group to the other, to the sinners and the tax collectors. And he's like, you know, if you're willing to be acknowledged and surrounded by people like this and acknowledge you need me, he's there. He's the one who's got time for us. And that's so freeing. But we have to overcome this desire to be seen by people as something that we're not. Just be honest. I need help. There was two men. There's a parable of two men that went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one a sinner. And the Pharisee's like, man, I'm sure glad I'm not like all these other people that have these outward sins. Because we can easily see them. Oh, that's wrong and that's wrong. But yet the sinner, what did he do? He didn't even look up to heaven. He's like, I'm a sinner. He acknowledged, I'm a sinner. I need help. And he went away justified that day. Because what did he have? A humble heart. He went away just as if he had never sinned. Jesus can make us clean just like that if we're willing to acknowledge. And that's how we come to start to know the love of Christ. I can remember when I started to get that revelation that it wasn't based on me doing enough good. But if we're willing to acknowledge, Lord, I need you. I need to be forgiven. I'm a sinner. And Lord, I can't do it on my own strength. That's when all of a sudden there was this cleansing in the heart. You started to feel like a brand new person. You started to know peace that I'd never known before. Because before I knew, there was a conviction there. And God was putting his finger on the big sin. There was other sins that followed later that he exposed. There's still more to expose. But there was something I knew. And I wasn't willing to acknowledge and turn from it. But when I was willing, boy, it was amazing. I felt so clean and I had so much peace. And so I was kind of wondering, why is it that we stay in that place? One is pride, like I had. Sometimes I think it can be unbelief. Sometimes we don't really believe, I think Joel touched on this, that God is holy and that he's a holy, righteous judge. And we can't practice sin. He wants to change us. But there's unbelief because we don't think we can ever change. And that is a lie. God came to set us free. And we'll be free indeed. He wants to help us. Sometimes some sins, we get freedom right away. Others, there's a little bit of a battle and we have to work through things. Sometimes a big battle and a lot of dying to self. But he can make us free by his Spirit. And the other one I was thinking about is sometimes we feel like we believe a different lie. And that is we've just done too much bad. We're just too big of a sinner. I've just done too many shameful things. That is a lie. I'm going to read a verse in Luke 4. Let's go to Luke 4:16. It says, so Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today is the day, the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean? It's the year of Jubilee. It's the year when all the captives can be set free. That's what he was saying. Today is the day. And today it still is the day. If you find yourself brokenhearted, if you find yourself a captive to sin in bondage, if you find yourself blind spiritually, not understanding what we're reading, it says today is the day. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, right? And it's here today to set us free from those things. But we do need to humble ourselves and we need to believe that God is good. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is good. What does it say? Without faith, we cannot please him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. What does that mean? He is good. If you seek him, he's got very good plans for your life. Don't settle for second or third or fourth best. Don't think, well, I've done too much bad. This is all I got. I'm going to just hold on to what I got. That's not faith. Faith says, you know what? God has a very, very good plan for my life. I may not know what it looks like yet, but I know all of his thoughts toward me are good. He has a very good plan. But you know what stops us from actually living it out is faith. Are we willing to come to him and surrender all of our hopes and plans and dreams and even the things, the areas that we're clinging to, maybe the areas of sin? Why do we hold on to those? Because sometimes there's a passing pleasure. But God's got something far better. Are we willing to come to him? And you know what? He has a very good plan for us. And we know it's going to be part of his kingdom. And part of his kingdom is righteousness. We're going to be able to start to walk in righteousness with a clean heart, with joy, and with peace. And that's the plan he has for all of us, as well as specific details for each one of our lives. Anyways, I want to close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the love that you have for us that was ultimately displayed in you sending your one and only Son, that he might die for my sin and for everyone's sin here. Lord, that we could ultimately be forgiven and be in right standing with you if we're just willing to humble ourselves and look to you and come to you and to repent. Lord, I ask that you would help us not to make any provision for things in our lives, Lord, that are according to the flesh, but Lord, that we would believe and know that you have a very good plan for every one of our lives. I thank you that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.